Good morning.
You're just in time.
Welcome to the St. Gabriel Cafe, your sacred space to sip on today's local blend of faithful encouragement.
Let's start our day together.
Good morning, friends. Come on in, pull up a chair. I'm Dave Orsborn.
And I'm Amanda Miller, and we welcome you into the St. Gabriel Cafe, our live and local morning show.
This is going to be a fun hour.
Yeah.
We're going to have
You got
a really
pointed
good
at
time.
Today, and you were right on time.
Yeah, then you started laughing. It threw me off my game. How you guys doing?
I haven't choked on my coffee yet. If you were here
There's
yesterday.
There's still 59 minutes. So.
Right.
That was awful, though. We were like, brought us back to the day that Lily was here, Lily Iglesias, when the espresso machine exploded and we had to take care of that.
So. You know, live radio, what are you going to do?
We roll with it. Can you start us with a prayer?
Yes, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we praise you and we thank you for another day, for your goodness and for your blessings. We bring everything to you today, all of our joys, all of our sorrows, everything that you're calling us to do today, all our little tasks, everyone that we're going to meet. Lord, we just lay it at your feet and ask you to bless every single moment, that we would be present to you as we are present to those that you have put in our path today. Lord, help us to love our neighbor well. Lord, we ask also for greater hearts of surrender, to know your will and to do your will. And Lord, as we are diving even deeper into this Eucharistic revival, give us Eucharistic hearts. And we also ask for a greater love for Mama Mary, as she always brings us closer to you in relationship to you. And help us make our own fiat. We offer all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Well, we are excited this morning to welcome back our friends Mary Beth Eberhardt and Lisa Iglesias back here into the cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa and Mary Beth, of course, are co-hosts of The Visitation, heard right here on St. Gabriel Radio every Saturday at 2 p.m. So we're going to have a lively, spirit-filled conversation. I can feel it. We went on a field trip yesterday.
Yes, we did. Wasn't that so fun?
It was fun. Well, you got there.
Correct.
There being.
Yes. So I went to Cristo Rey High School yesterday. I have the opportunity of highlighting some of the seniors for our senior spotlights to record identification messages. And they share a little bit about their leadership role or what university that they have been accepted in. And so I went there to do some recording. And then afterwards, our friend,
after the work was done, I showed up.
Yes.
Yep.
That is what happened. And then we got a little tour.
Yeah. Joe Patrick, the president of Cristo Rey, met us and started our tour. And then the principal, Ryan Pettit, joined us. And she walked us around. It's really a special place. It's just a beautiful, beautiful school to begin with. You know, the nice wide halls and wooden floors, and it's the original Ohio School for the Deaf school, which then Cristo Rey acquired, I believe, from the library. The library had bought it, and then Cristo Rey acquired it or is leasing or whatever. I'm not sure of that arrangement, but
you're right, David.
It's
a physically
so nice.
Beautiful place, but also there are great things happening there.
Yeah, well, what stood out for me, one of the things, just how everything is oriented towards their mission, on excellence and the students that they serve, they likely wouldn't be able to have an education like that if it wasn't through the generosity of the church and through the benefactors and through the sacrifices by the staff members and the teachers. And they're all working together on that. You mm-hmm. just got that sense. And the teachers that we saw and the students, did you notice, I mean, there was just a seriousness.
Yeah.
That, I mean, or a focus. I mean,
I would use the word intentionality. Yeah, focus is good. Also very good. Yeah. Yeah. There throughout the whole program, throughout the whole school, there's just a pervasive feeling of like, this success and focus and intentionality, even down to the work study program that they provide the students, very intentional of how they place them and how the kids can succeed and do well because it fits them. And yeah, it was just great. Great opportunity.
Very diverse student body. I think over 40 countries have been represented.
Yeah, they had all kinds of flags all over the wall to show where the students were coming from. And I think he said that as their students go home, they'll speak maybe about 25 languages, you know, not individually, but, you know, throughout the population of the school. So
not like the Orsborn household. You know, we all speak, you know, 4 or 5 languages.
Uh-huh.
5 if you're counting.
Math.
That's it.
The math that you do on Duolingo.
That's it. That's it. But no, it was a very, very nice visit. I don't get to do field trips as often as I would like. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Joe. Thank you, Ryan. Sister Castissima. Yeah, Castissima from Africa is the chaplain there, and we got to chat with her for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. So.
It was a lovely visit.
Quite nice. How was your evening, Cameron?
It was good. I went for a walk in the warm weather that we had with my wife and daughter, and that was awesome. We really enjoyed it. Tried to keep the sun out of my daughter's eyes. I've never met a kid who dislikes the sun in her eyes at 1 year old as much as Olive. Now, maybe I've just been ignorant of other 1 year olds in my entire life.
That's possible.
It is very much possible. But I've been shocked at how much she in her little 1 year old ways complains about having the sun in her eyes.
She rub them with her little fists.
Yeah, and makes noise about it.
Yeah.
Cute.
Relatable though. I don't like the sun in my eyes.
Right. So, right. Like, yeah.
I can't blame her.
Sometimes I scream out loud too. Do you want to pray the gospel?
Mm-hmm.
Today, Wednesday, April 17th, the third week in the season of Easter, our gospel this morning is John chapter 6, verses 35 to 40.
Jesus said to the crowds, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. But I told you that although you have seen me, you do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, but that I should raise it on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day."
Amen. We continue the bread of life discourse. Do you want me to go first? This hungering and thirsting has stood out all week. And really have reflected on what I hunger and thirst for.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, our temporal needs are very important, obviously, and I pray for those that are physically hungry and thirsting. But we can't lose sight of reality and the journey that we're on and the destination that the Lord is promising us. And do I hunger and thirst for that enough? Mm-hmm. Do I desire, I guess, even just praying for the desire to hunger and thirst for that? The other part that really has caught my attention, we were talking about this yesterday also, was I will not reject anyone who comes to me. That is such a huge promise. That we turn to the Lord, and I mean, who hasn't been rejected? Who hasn't been disqualified or weakened or, you know, put on the sidelines or even felt like they were being put aside? That's not the Lord's promise here. He will not reject anyone who comes to him. Mm-hmm. Again, Jesus, I trust in you.
What stuck out to me in the gospel passage today is the echoing of language that Jesus uses, that whoever comes to me. And when I sat down to pray with it earlier this morning, I really tried to ask the Lord, what is your eternal perspective here? Because it's really easy for me to look at that and say, okay, cool, you know, Christians who come to you in the Eucharist or in their daily prayer time or whatever, you're not turning anybody away. That's awesome. But I think the eternal perspective here too, you really hear Jesus's desire to see everybody in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I remember having my mind blown thinking about this idea that it's not about like whether or not we, like, Jesus doesn't make a chair for us at the table the moment we get to heaven, but actually that chair already has our name on it up there, you know? And my good friend Brad Piron has often said that what would happen if everybody in the world recognized that every person you pass on the street has an eternal destination, and it's one of two places. How would that change all of our perspectives? And I think that's what I mean when I say, like, that eternal perspective is when I wake up and I'm on my drive to work, I am driving during school traffic quite frequently. And so I pass a lot of bus drivers, and sometimes I can get frustrated with the buses because they clog up the traffic frequently because they're picking up all these little kids. But on my drive this morning, I really took that eternal perspective and said, okay, you know, every one of these kids who's getting on these school buses and all of these school bus drivers that I'm passing have an eternal destination here. Mm. And while I might not directly interact with those people on a daily basis, because I pass them every day, I really want to start thinking and praying for all of these people and just saying, okay, Lord, you know, all these little high schoolers who are leaving my neighborhood the same, roughly the same time I'm leaving my neighborhood, Lord, I pray that you would, you know, draw them to you, that you would give them an opportunity to encounter you in one way or another. All these school bus drivers who, like, what does a school bus driver do all day? You know, you drive the kids to school and then you drive the kids home from school. And I don't know what happens in between, but Lord, provide opportunities for you to meet them. And it really just, like, changed the way that I was looking, even at my little, you know, 15-minute commute from my house, in a really beautiful way this morning.
Mm.
Nice.
Beautiful. I think, Cam, as you were talking, welling up in me is just this, yeah, as you were sharing that the Father wants everyone to be saved, right? And Jesus's heart, I can't imagine what it was like in the garden before his crucifixion to think, here I am giving literally every last bit of myself and I will go through this terrible suffering, and yet not all will be saved, and not because he doesn't want them to be, but because some will turn away. And how heart-wrenching that would be for him to know that. And then in today's gospel, he says that I should not lose anything of what God the Father gave me. And it goes on to say, the one that believes may have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day. And just the promise of eternal life that is given us, and the protection that we have in Christ's hands, that he will not lose any that come to him. And so recognizing that protection, that care, that love, and that promise of eternal life when we come to him, and the goodness of that, in that, well, yeah, to say yes to the life that was given to us and the promise of the life to come.
Really get a sense of the Lord's intensity,
mm-hmm.
here, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, he's, I told you that although you have seen me, you do not believe. And then he launches right into, you know, everything that the Father gives me will come to me. I will not reject anyone who comes to me. He's just begging people, you know, wake up.
Yeah.
Wake up. Turn to me. You know, what I'm offering you is eternity. Don't be blind. Don't be ignorant. Don't be obstinate. Don't be wrapped up in everything that the world is giving you. I'm giving you myself, the real food, you know, for which you should hunger and which you should thirst for. I will raise it on the last day. This is the will of my Father. Mm. Let's desire it.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. With us in the cafe this morning, in just a few moments, we will be joined by Mary Beth Eberhart, Lisa Iglesias, and we'll see where the Spirit leads us. Stay with us. You're listening to the St. Gabriel Cafe.
O good Jesus, you are the Most High God, everlasting and always living. You have shown us the way to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit to guide us. We implore thy most sacred heart to have mercy on us in this time of need. Bless and protect the vulnerable. Give hope to all and fill our hearts with confidence in your divine mercy. Be our joy in the midst of suffering and our stability in the midst of uncertainty. Your forgiveness we seek, your love we need. Your protection we implore. Forgive our sins and heal our wounds. Strengthen any weakness of faith and make us strong so as to give witness to your glory. Keep far from us any illness, pestilence, or harm. You are our refuge. You are our comfort. You are our hope. Through the intercession of Our Lady, health of the sick, we come to your most sacred heart and beseech your protection and blessing. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Amen.
Do you have a minute for lasting happiness? Living virtuously is the way to freedom, happiness, and holiness. To grow in virtue, we must learn about it, practice it, and persevere in it. This is what the saints have achieved with excellence. An excellent example of the virtue of industriousness is seen in Saints Cyril and Methodius. They lived industriousness heroically by working diligently to bring the Catholic faith to the Slavonic people. Having grown up together in Greece, the brothers were sent to Russia as missionaries. They created the first written alphabet from the Slavonic languages in order to teach the faith. Their industriousness allowed the sacraments to be offered in a language the people could understand. Let us ask Saints Cyril and Methodius to pray for us, that we may grow in industriousness. Educate yourself in virtue. Learn more at educationinvirtue.com.
I'm Lori Kroc, and this is a Holy and Healthy Minute. Courage is an amazing virtue that can move us out of our comfort zone and into new and exciting actions for God. A courageous action is both holy and healthy and may begin to reshape the way we think, pray, and love. From Sacred Scripture, Matthew 14, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. These are powerful, life-changing words from Jesus. It is I. He is there with us in the moments of suffering and joy, challenge and triumph. Courage dispels fear and strengthens us to care for others, with Jesus working in us and through us. We need courage to stand up for our beliefs at school, at work, in recreation, and in socializing. Courage helps us to bravely share our faith and our love for Jesus. Let us pray. Jesus, strengthen us to courageously share our love for you with others. Amen.
Welcome back, friends, to the St. Gabriel Cafe. I'm Amanda Miller.
I'm Dave Orsborn, and our friends, the Visitation Sisters, are back with us. Lisa Iglesias, Mary Beth Eberhart, co-hosts of the Visitation, heard here on St. Gabriel Radio, Saturdays at 2 p.m.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome back.
We definitely coined the Visitation Sisters. I don't know. Do you like it? Should we scratch it?
Oh, I love it. I am now very aware that I want to honor the actual Visitation Sisters and not get anybody confused. That's all.
Yes.
Otherwise, right. I love the idea of sistering
with being sisters
with this girl.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You have to get t-shirts.
Oh, can we?
It's not official until you have t-shirts.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Cam, can you get on that?
I don't have a barista t-shirt, which means if it's not official until there's a t-shirt.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
We got to jump on
Look
that.
At him.
Oh, ouch.
Ooh.
I like We need merch.
He's been harboring that for a long time.
I know, seriously.
Actually,
I'm going to bring in an apron. How about that?
That works.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love that.
That's awesome. And it'd be like, do you want a different name or is it going to be actually Cam? Or
because like, you can always they, make like, up, use chalk and you, know, you never know, like, yeah.
There's a lot. Hello, I'm Gilbert this morning.
Okay, so.
You can misspell our names on all the cups.
No, story time real quick.
Absolutely.
Really quick story time. So the Kroger near my house, there is a specific employee, an older gentleman, whose name tag says Batman.
Awesome.
Every time I go in there. Mm. And like, I have seen him consistently for a while.
Do you say, hi, Batman?
Well, I was shopping the produce section where he normally works, and I looked up his name tag, and I've seen him around, and I said, you know, I didn't know Batman worked at Kroger for a day job. And he looked at me and he said, gotta pay the bills somehow. That was it. The end of it.
Love it.
So, I love it.
That shout out to so Batman.
Good. Awesome, Batman. God bless Batman. That's awesome.
I hope he's listening.
Yeah.
That would be so cool.
Mm.
Batman listens to the cafe.
Mm. Absolutely.
If you had a t-shirt, you could give it to him.
If I did have a t-shirt.
All right.
Noted.
Cafe branded flavors, you know, syrups.
Lavender.
Yeah. There you go. Our first one.
Dave's been hating on me because I like lavender. Yeah.
That's a bit strong.
Kombucha. Okay.
I heard kombucha.
I'm so sorry.
Not hating on you. I'm hating on lavender.
I hate lavender.
Right.
I would agree.
Do you agree?
I can't do it.
Okay. I'm going to make everyone lavender lattes and you'll see.
Oh, okay.
You'll see.
That would probably work.
Next time.
But yeah.
Mm.
You should have like a little chalkboard sign outside as like the drink of the day. I'm just saying.
There you go. The cafes. Oh, okay. Love it.
So
he
many
likes
possibilities.
It. The eyebrows are raised, everybody. He's on board with this.
So all of our
we'll get our marketing team on it.
Yeah, all of our very talented Catholic artists out there, submit your.
Let's land this plane.
Probably a good idea. Is there a crash zone? I don't know.
So, today's gospel reading. Cam, Amanda, and I were able to pray it, and you were here praying along with us. What stood out for you all?
The idea of hungering and thirsting has really been on my heart lately. You know, in my season of life, it's a very practical hunger or thirst for rest, for peace, and a very like visceral calling out to the Lord, like, hey. And yet when I read the gospel and he says, you know, I will, whoever comes to me will never hunger, whoever believes in me will never thirst. And it really called me to evaluate what it is I'm hungering for and maybe the peace and the rest is, you know, sometimes in those calling out to the Lord, I'm like, Lord, like, I can't even keep my house clean. And the meals have been like, you know, pizza, rotisserie chicken, frozen veggies, you know, like this
cereal. Have you gotten to the cereal
part? Dude, cereal nights are so good. And yet, even in a cereal night, I'm like, I'm failing. Like, I'm not enough. And yet, you know, the Lord is enough. And we try to make, at least I'm finding that what I'm desiring, the perfect meal, the house in order, the kids going to mass with clothes that are ironed and look put together, right? The other day, one of my sons, they were running to mass and he's like, this is a clean hoodie. I was like, go to mass. The goal is mass. And so, you know, I mentioned this when before we went on air, but we try to make this our heaven. Like we really do, at least I do, and it sometimes it really does kill me. It like weighs me down. And yet there are glimpses of heaven. There are beautiful laughter moments that we share and you can see the light. And yet this is a time of formation. This is a time of drawing closer to the Lord. This is a time of that we should be, you know, that hunger and thirst for him should motivate me to dig deeper and really search out that relationship with me. I should allow myself to be formed in ways, honestly, I think that make me worthy of being at the table. I don't want to sit at that table at heaven and have it be, you know, desire the beautiful look. I want to desire the beautiful people, their hearts, their souls. And my heart has to be in that place to sit at that table. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. How do we, or actually, I'll come back. Lisa, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, the hungering and thirsting, that did stick out to me. And I'm glad you brought that up, Mary Beth, because that was the same thought that I had, is like, what am I hungering and thirsting for? Like, am I hungering and thirsting after his love and his approval and his, you're doing a great job? Or am I looking for that somewhere else? Or am I just self-aiding? You know, like that, I'll just, you know, default to that, like, you know, whatever the hard situation is, whether it's cereal night and everyone's happy and I feel like a failure, you know, or whatever that happens to be. But a few other things kind of were jumping out to me. And this is ever since the Catholic Women's Conference, and this is and meeting St. Elizabeth of the Trinity. It was life changing for me because my mind has just been yearning for more and more, just to dig into this about God's will, his will. And I think, you know, from being a teenager wondering, oh, what am I going to do with my life? And my college application says I have to put a major, and I defiantly put undecided, you know, and I, you know, like, what are you going to do? What are you going to be? We're all asking 16-year-olds, what are you going to be? You're going to be, oh, I'll be an engineer. I'm going to be pre-med. I'm going to, because that's an acceptable answer. And the other answers, I'm not sure. I'm just a kid. Kind of scared to go. Those are all like unacceptable in society, right? But like we all, or maybe how I see it, but we all are, but you know, bottom line, we're looking for what's God's will. And I remember praying like, Lord, just tell me your will and I will do it. I will do it. I just want to know what it is. I just don't want to do the wrong thing. I will do it. And but he's here always saying what his will is. And so as I was just reading along, and he said, and this is the will of the one who sent me. And I'm like, whoa. Clear off the table. Here it comes. He's going to say it. And it's what he's been saying over and over and over the whole time he's been with, you know, us here on the earth and speaking to his apostles. And that should be enough. Mm. I feel like for me, that should be enough. That should be enough. And then the way that I live out my life, if I'm seeking after that with a hunger rightly ordered for his love, then that should be good. But then when you were saying the thing about coming up to the table and Cam's image of the tear at the table, I instantly pictured my... Anybody know who Pigpen is?
Yes.
Remember Pigpen from... you don't
know. From the Peanuts. From Peanuts? Brown, right?
Oh, yes. Okay,
Charlie Brown.
Like, he's like the one with all the dirt,
I almost
right?
needed a defibrillator. Yeah. Yes, she didn't know. Yes, I picture myself... walking up like Pigpen to the table.
Amen.
And I was like, whoa, why would that be my first image of, like, no. He would have purified my heart. Mm-hmm. Like, and if I get to make it there. So, but like, isn't that funny? That was my first image. It was like, am I Pigpen walking up to that table in heaven? I don't know.
But that's a beautiful thought, actually, because it's not like you were closed out from the table.
Why like that?
He takes our messiness and he makes it
beautiful.
We
don't have your reservation, Lisa. Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I'm sorry.
How do you spell that? Very beautiful image.
I agree, Amanda. I think that that's really, you know, like to imagine, like that's the beauty of the table is that everyone is welcome.
Mm-hmm.
That we look, and this brings us back to the earlier conversation, always like when that happens, when all are welcome. And we see each other with eyes of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, we're always calling ourselves to see each other with eyes of Christ. And honestly, what I struggle with the most is seeing myself in that way.
Yeah. I was actually praying about that this morning because I think we can have the temptation to see others and, oh, their relationship with our Lord just must be so beyond. And because they seem to have this type of relationship and and we can start to kind of compare, right? And it's like, oh, actually, I'm also called to the table in my own special way. And maybe the love that, this is what came to mind, the love that God has for them, is not the love that God is going to love me with. God is going to love me with the love that he particularly has for me and not anyone else. Because everyone that he loves is very particular. So it doesn't take away from, maybe when we see the love that God has for others, it doesn't mean he loves us less. Like God's love is diffusive. God's love is infinite, right? Mm. And I should desire the way in which he loves me and where he has me at. Mm. Does that make sense?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you just said. It was something I had written down as we were reading it, that, you know, even if I'm failing in whatever, you know, fill in the blank, you know, for the day, he's still saying, come to me, mm-hmm. come to me. Mm-hmm. And then there in my worry that I might not be doing what God wants, you know, walking in his will, is this going bad because I'm railing against his will? Like, is this, you know, like that question in my heart. Even here he talks about that he came to do, you know, the will of the one who sent me. Like, this is Jesus. This is King of Kings. Lord, like, he didn't just be like, yeah, okay, so I'm here. And what we're going to do is going to be like this because it's my will. Because he could have. I'm not doing that cross thing. I'm not doing that. But he was like, if he can do the will of the Father, oh, yeah, I think I probably should, you know, get some humble pie and be more open to, like, what is it beyond what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's just, it's just so big for me, this whole like God's will, that I'm just like,
it is.
I'm trying to drink it, but you know, I try to get it, but I'm maybe a thimbleful at a time.
Lisa Iglesias, Mary Beth Eberhart here in the cafe with us this morning. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Brings in that table there, you know, and you know, give us this day our daily bread. The fact that we can join here on earth in the kingdom now to receive the promise, you know, that we've been walking through with the bread of life discourse. That is heaven on earth, right? I mean, Mary Beth, you were talking about, you know, are we trying to, I mean, how did you say it?
Make this our heaven.
Yeah, make this our heaven. Mm. Boy, we get he's giving us more than a glimpse. I mean, he's giving us that reality that we eat. You know, we have the Eucharist, and that is the reality. Isn't that a share of heaven right now?
Actually, you're bringing out, I think, a very good distinction, the difference between making this earthly life our heaven, which Mary Beth was alluding to, versus we can experience heaven now when we partake of the bread, when we partake of the kingdom.
Well, and there's a big distinction language-wise there that I've been kind of chewing on since you said it earlier, Mary Beth, that it's we try to make this our heaven, or is it God's heaven that we get to partake in, right? I was thinking about it from the perspective of, like, we're all on this journey home to the kingdom, but the reality of the battle is still here right now, right? And sometimes I think we try to set up our tent and maybe plant a few sticks in the ground that make some kind of poor wall, and you're like, yep, we've made it. This is now the kingdom, right? We've arrived. And yet how poor that little campsite is compared to the actual, like, kingdom with actual walls and actual, like, feasting tables that is the kingdom of heaven.
That imagery there too. I mean, we should think of it as a tent, you know, that signifies or implies a journey rather than laying a deep foundation and, you know, pouring down the cement and doing the landscaping and, you know, everything else that implies permanence. We should have a tent, right?
Yeah, when you say tent, I have the image of, like, you know, nomads, right? And there's something to that as well, because I think that's part of the Christian journey as well, that trust, right? That, like, I'm just going to walk forward and trust that you give me manna enough for today. And that walk, you know, it's like the paradox of the Christian life in some ways, where, you know, we thirst, we hunger for earthly things. And yet what the Lord is saying is that, you don't need, like, with me, you need not thirst or hunger. I provide. And it's that
give us our daily bread.
Our daily bread. Just enough for today. And if we can live that way, I think that's the seat at the table. It's like it's our offering. You know.
And don't you think that I think our world tells us, make sure you've got your stockpile and make sure you can take care of yourself and you can, all the things about yourself, your stuff, your land, and I'm not against that. I think God gives us the intellect and heart to, you know, take care of and provide to protect and defend, you know, like, the defenseless and, like, people that he's given to you. I completely agree with that. I completely agree with, like, taking care of your land and your good, healthy food. I completely agree with that. I think there is a place, though, there's a line where it becomes mine and it no longer is what God has done with what I am giving him of my time, my energy, my money to try to, like, set up something. And I know this is a completely ridiculous tangent, but just that idea of, I mean, I know I can, I don't have, we don't have the land, we don't have the things like that. And so, like, when, if people start getting a little bit worried about, well, this and that in the world, and what am I going to do? I could, like, spiral into, oh my gosh, I don't have any chickens and I don't have a cow for milk and I do not have my own wheat field. Like, and what will we do? And I know that sounds ridiculous, but it has crossed my mind. But again, there are other things that you know, we as adults, you know, that we can do and ask God, like, oh, how would you like me to do this? Oh, okay, a freezer, and there's meat in that freezer. Okay, yes, Lord. Okay, that's what I'm doing. I'm not doing the other thing. But again, that for me, it's not any of the extra that I'm that I just mentioned, but it's mostly the heart, the intention of Jesus, this is what you've given us, and how then do we share, or how do we take care of what you want? It's, you know, here he talks about, I'd like to know more of like what it means. So I was like, I was going to look it up in the other, like in Greek or something, but I didn't plan well. But when he talks about like, and this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, but that I should raise it on the last day. And I know he's talking about people, but is that all he's talking about? Like anything that he gave me, he means us, anyone that the Father gave him. Is that, I mean, it's just basic like that? Or what do you all think? I mean, that's what matters, is our spirit, our soul, right? Like in the end. But that's what he means, right? Or I don't know.
Well, is it? I mean, is it? I mean, it. All of creation is his. You know, all of creation. Obviously, I mean, yeah, I think it's all of us. But I mean, that's where I would bring in stewardship and everything. That nothing that is his should be wasted.
Yeah.
Or abused.
Yeah. Good. I knew that you could say that better than I could.
He wants to gather everything. Yeah. Everything to himself.
Yeah.
I was struck by what you said about how we tend to call it ours, like how we grasp it back, right? And then I find myself saying, you know, like, Lord, haven't you seen what I've been giving? Haven't you seen everything I've been pouring out for you? I always have this image of him just sitting there with, you know, the eyebrow raised, being like, that's fascinating. You, that grace that, you know, the day you had nothing to give and you persevered and you were able to do and provide, that was all you? I don't think so. But it's our human nature that, like, you know, that part of, I always say to Ryan, my husband, I'm like, oh, I hate my humanity. And he calls me out because he's like, wait a minute. You know, there's a beauty to your humanity, a dignity to it. And yet, right, we struggle with that. Nature part of me, at least I do.
I was thinking too, then back up at the top of the gospel there, I'm the bread of life, whoever comes to me will never hunger and never thirst. And just again, you know, back to like, what am I hungering for, right? And what am I thirsting for? But like, that could that be enough for my, you know, for my heart, for whether you have a worried heart or an aching heart or a betrayed heart or, you know, like that, to let that, I don't know, maybe it could be like a prayer for myself, like that, you know, fill this part, you know, like this Eucharist, this communion. I don't know. Just was thinking about that.
Lisa Iglesias, Mary Beth Eberhardt here in the St. Gabriel Cafe. They're the co-hosts of The Visitation, heard here on St. Gabriel, Saturdays at 2 p.m. O'clock. Good, you guys were up on our schedule.
I'm going back to this word at the end of the gospel today, believes. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life. And I feel like that word just keeps on coming back up, not only again with our conversation with Dr. Marlin when we did our Creed series, but then again just the other day in the gospel as well. And looking at the root of that word believe, and that it's not just an intellectual assent, but it is a deep trust and daily surrender. And for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life. And it's not the having eternal life. First and foremost, you need the trust and surrender. And so every time I see that word believe now, I'm kind of trying to dive deeper into it.
Yeah, because when you believe something, there's actions that come with it. So like Cam sharing about praying for the good folks who drive the kids, and those kids who are super sleepy and tired and they made their way into the bus and, you know, all that, and they're going to go do the hard thing of going off to school. Praying like that is because you believe. You believe, and what God is saying here in the gospel. And so like, then if I do believe, then what, how am I going to act differently? How is it going to be known that I believe that?
I mean, the options are pretty limited, right? And believe in him or believe in some sort of lies, and we know they're lies, right? And it comes back around to that rejection. How often are we fed that we're not worthy of it, that he doesn't have a place for us, that somehow we will be rejected? I mean, those are all the lies that we're fed. And you guys have done, you know, shows on this, on just how we're always being told, for whatever reason, and a past harm, you know, current rejections, measuring ourselves against others somehow disqualify us. And there's two, is that of Christ, or is that of the deceiver?
Right.
And man, and when I say it that simply, it's so obvious, but how our minds just can get get screwed up. I think that's the Greek.
Mm-hmm. It strikes me though. You know,
thank you,
because
I love
about
knowing the roots of this. So
you do.
That's awesome.
You were talking about the firmness of Christ in this, yeah, in this gospel reading, right? But, you know, you can hear him almost like an exasperated parent, right? Where he is like, you know, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. But I told you. How many times as a parent have I said, but yeah, I told you, right? That although you have seen me, you do not believe. And it's again, going back to, you know, that word belief and our inability to really feel worthiness. And he's like, hey, like, I'm calling you, like, how
pretty,
many times?
This is pretty simple, folks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
And yet, you know,
it's not Duolingo math.
In Greek.
Or Greek.
Yeah. My kids are listening and they're going to be like, throw the math textbooks out the window. Mr. Orsborn says we can turn on the Duolingo.
I mean, this isn't organic chemistry. You know, you have two choices, believe in me or believe the lies of the world.
But the believe in me is such a beautiful believe in me, because it's like, believe in me and this piece is yours. Like, and the belief isn't run, you know, like, it's not a heavy ask, and yet we make it heavy. Mm. And I'm still trying to wrestle with that. Like, why do we make it heavy? I mean, yes, the things we carry, you know, the worries, the struggles, they're all very, very real. And yet, again, to be that Christian, I find myself just in awe of, in really challenging moments, being joyful. And like, then that's the belief. Like, that moment is like, oh, I believe. And then, you know, it's like Peter on the water.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I believe, and then I sink.
Because we're human. Yeah.
Because we're human, right? Yeah.
But the good thing is that the Lord still reaches out his hand.
He reaches it and he pulls us right back up.
I am drowning, but he still pulls us back up.
Yeah. And how many times have I told you, right? Yeah.
And with what you had said too, Dave, like how we can get that confused, that if we don't keep it like very clear in our mind, like, this is what Jesus says, this is what God says, and this is what the deceiver says. And I think it also goes to the fact that, you know, of our humanity, like, we are little, we are not, you know, so bright. And we do sometimes get caught in this like downward spiral of a cone of like what we've experienced or whatever I've heard or whatnot. But recently my daughter just did this the other day, and I was saying something and she is like, hang on. And she said something really affirming and it was short and sweet. And she's like, I knew I needed to call that out in you. I know you're saying this, but I was just trying to be really real. Like, you know, she's very, very, very at that cusp of young adult, you know, or mm-hmm. she probably, other folks would say, oh yeah, I mean, well into. I don't think so. But anyway, not on her particular. I just don't laugh. I'm saying I think young adults is like 20s, mid-20s. Like, mm-hmm. I still think they're kind of kids at 22, you know. But that's just me. But I think to be young and to be able to say, no, I need to actually call this virtue out in you because I hear you saying something really opposite. Just be, and so that's from the deceiver. And I have to tell you, it like in a moment just changed my perspective on the situation, and it changed even who I am. Mm-hmm. I because my daughter just said that. And so I just kind of like had to like process that, you know, wisdom. And then, but she, what was beautiful was she's like, so my friends, we do that for each other. Mm-hmm. My friend called out something that, you know, was a virtue when all I could see was the opposite. And I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you, Jesus, for, you know, people in life that have that. And so I'm trying to look for those moments, and because we are the body of Christ. And so we have to remind each other, because again, we believe it. So if we believe, you know, whoever believes in me, he says, so if we do believe that, then maybe we can have the courage to call out the actual truth, because it could really like put somebody right back on the correct path without us even really trying. So again, that's one of those rubber meets the road things, as I always look for is like, well, what can I actually do then to live this gospel for me? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it can be so done so gently. I mean, it's a correction, but it's so affirming. It's so clearly putting you on a better path, mm-hmm. that there's no harshness there. And especially when it's offered by your daughter, it's mm-hmm. like, oh, that's awesome.
I agree with you, Lisa. I think it's so important in any of our conversations with our friends, our family, whoever it may be, to, if they say something that you get the sense is that's a lie from the enemy, to just call it out right there. Hey, that's a lie from the enemy, and I just want to affirm you and tell you the truth, and then speak whatever is true. And we do need to be attentive to that and share that with our neighbor, because who wants to follow the lies of the enemy? And sometimes we just need help.
That's actually the basis of my friendship with Lisa. And it really is. Yeah. Because that is how we first met, you know, is that we were at some a mom's gathering. And, you know, sometimes when women gather, or I guess, you know, men, when people gather, you know, gossip can happen in various forms. And I remember her saying, hey, can we talk about something else? And like my eyes lifted, and I was like, that's light right there. And I want to be with that.
That was in that moment, because there's other moments I've partaken in that same kind of gossip.
I'm not saying that.
But that moment, that there was the light.
Time. But I'm saying
perhaps
that
because you were there.
Right. Participating.
God parted the clouds. And we
but
had
there
a,
was someone,
a moment.
You know, there was right. a glimpse, right? Mm. And yes, we're called to elevate. We're called to bear witness.
Mm. Just another example of what we talk about quite a bit on the cafe is that ministry of presence. You know, if you're able to be present with the person in that moment, then, I mean, that gets to the core also of what friendship is, mm-hmm. and to be able to recognize, because you're in that present moment, you have a relationship, you have a love for each other that when you hear a lie, or you see that the other person is being deceived, then is the moment to call it out, mm-hmm. and not to to be quiet and to just let it fester and grow, and then get back to him in a couple of days, or shoot him a text, you know, a day later. Now call it out when you see it happening. Yeah. That's a beautiful expression of friendship.
Yeah. And I never knew quite how to like bring up something ever before, but like, you know, throughout the years you get to know good folks and walking with Jesus, and you know, some of the is like, you know, this might sound crazy, but you know, and or something that disarms even yourself that mm-hmm. might be nervous to bring it up. But I don't know, is it, don't you experience it? Like, it is Holy Spirit going, you feel it instantly when you can, when you, someone is going on or they're sharing whatever, and you can instantly feel their, like, a pain point. And we can also pray for that wisdom of, like, you know, is this, you know, this moment? Okay, this moment, you know, like, but yeah, in charity, right? That's love and charity acting on the good of the other.
Mm-hmm. Mary Beth Eberhardt, Lisa Iglesias here in the cafe. We're starting a series with Dr. Marlon Della Torre that's going to be on every Tuesday. Nice. Leading up to Pentecost and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Nice. So, I mean, we're talking about that wisdom, that understanding that comes through our baptism. I mean, you know, that's reality. Mm-hmm. Again. But how often do we think of, you know, the gift that we received at our baptism, and, you know, it's there waiting just to.
Yeah, that we don't have to be afraid, like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. No, actually, we've been given it. We just ask. We need to ask for the grace to open it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. so true. I think it is very palpable, of course, you know, on Easter Vigil when there's adults being baptized. Yeah. And I'm always struck with that, you know, like every year as a family, like, well, what mass might we go to for Easter? And we just kind of look at each other like, as long as we can do it. Like, because when the mm-hmm. kids were little, that was never a good time, you know. But as long as we can do it, Easter Vigil. I just need that visual for me of these adults claiming their belief in Jesus and receiving baptism. I mean, I just find that so brave and courageous mm-hmm. as an adult to just make that, you know, that move for Jesus. But yeah, I think, I think it is a gift that we don't often take down off the shelf or even unwrap. And like, who doesn't unwrap a gift?
And use it.
Who doesn't rip open Amazon packages, you know, like,
we get so excited,
you know, like, so yeah, so true.
Mm. And you know, who did it perfectly?
Mary.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, our queen. Yes.
And coming back full circle here, just this idea of hunger and thirst. And I think about Mary and who pondered things in her heart. And something that I've been thinking about is like the idea of pondering versus thinking about, like, us trying to think through something and do it and grapple with it ourselves versus Mary, who just had this patient, trusting surrender to just ponder, Lord, how are you going to do this? And how much peace that brings about in our day, and to just give our fiat like she did, to ponder versus maybe this always active doing.
Over and over again. Mm-hmm. Fiat, fiat, fiat. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Right. Yes.
Right. Mary Beth, Lisa, thanks for being in the cafe with us this morning.
Such
thanks
a blessing.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, so good.
Coming up tomorrow here in the cafe, Matt Palmer and Father Jacob Stinnett will be with us later today. Be sure to catch Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders. Always an outstanding show. Hear others' questions, and you can also call in yourself. So thank you all. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. A world without end. Amen.
Amen. God love you all. See you tomorrow.